Our scripture today is going to be one verse from the book of Proverbs, Proverbs 12, verse 25. But we are also going to read Psalm 42, which is a little bit more detailed description of the application that Proverbs has to our mind and our heart and our thinking, and how we react to things that happen in the world around us. In Psalm 42, we read these words, "As the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they continually say to me, 'Where is your God?' When I remember these things, I pour out my soul within me. For I used to go with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with the multitude that kept the pilgrim feast. Why are you cast down, oh my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him for the help of His countenance. Oh my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore I will remember you from the land of Jordan, from the heights of Hermon, from the hill Mitzar. Deep calls unto deep at the noise of your waterfalls. All your waves and billows have gone over me. The Lord will command His loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night His song shall be with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I will say to God, my rock, 'Why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a breaking of my bones, my enemies reproach me while they say to me all day long, "Where is your God? Why are you cast down, oh my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him, the help of my countenance and my God." And then we'll turn to Proverbs chapter 12. Proverbs 12, verse 25. Proverbs 12, verse 25. "Anxiety in the heart of man causes depression, but a good word makes it glad." I'll read that again. "Anxiety in the heart of man causes depression, but a good word makes it glad." Amen. May God add His blessing to the reading and hearing of His gospel today. Let's pray. Father, we ask that you would open our minds and our hearts, especially as we receive what's on the surface of the scripture is certainly simple and clear, and yet in the realities of our life and of our culture is very difficult and challenging to receive and to hear it. I pray that what is said would be accurate and faithful to your scriptures. I pray that as we receive it, we would receive it in faith, and you would show us how to apply this in the tender ways unto the uniqueness and situations that each of us and our loved ones and our friends and acquaintances face. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The congregation will find the sermon outline, of course, on the last page. And several reasons why I've decided to preach on this portion of God's Word to us today. One is that research shows to us that during this time of the year, after Christmas season and all of our holiday celebrations, winter blues or depression can set in and really weigh down upon our hearts. Another reason is that, interestingly, might not seem connected at all, but we're going to be having the installation of elder and deacon today. And part of the responsibilities that God gives to the church officers is to oversee the spiritual health and physical well-being as well of the congregation. They're tools in God's hands to make sure that we can have the good words that we need and can be encouragers unto us in whatever situations and challenges we go through in our life. Our scripture reveals to us today what appears to be a simple answer to the complex problem of depression. And of course, our world even doesn't always even use the word depression anymore. It uses mental illness to describe this and related realities. But the answer from God's word is a God-centered answer. It's a real answer with real hope that really works, because God's grace can overcome even the darkest of depressions. The downcast soul that we read about again and again in Psalm 42 is coming up and then going back down into the depths throughout the psalm even. The downcast soul would like to believe that hope is possible, but doesn't really know if it could be or how. They've been disappointed so many times before. But when we hear God promising something to us, we've got to take God at His word. His word is a good word, a promise that He is faithful to keep. And He tells each one of us today how to have a glad heart. How to have a glad heart. That's really the theme we want to look at based on Proverbs 12, verse 25. How to have a glad heart. And there's two parts here. First, we must flee the sins that can depress a heart. Flee the sins that can depress a heart. And then secondly, fill our hearts with good words. Fill our hearts with good words. How to have a glad heart. The first half of verse 25 tells us we've got to flee sins that depress a heart. Speaks of anxiety. The Bible says in the New Testament that we're to be anxious for nothing, but rather to turn the things that we're anxious about into prayers to God. Now, when the verse says anxiety in the heart of man causes depression, it doesn't mean that there aren't other things that can cause depression. There are other things besides anxiety. And there are also different types of depression. Sometimes we use the word to describe, I'm sad, I'm not feeling, I'm just sort of in a grumpy mood. Sometimes we might use the word to describe the sort of what's called clinical depression that you might go to a doctor for, that might get some medicine to assist in handling that situation. And again, there's a lot of helpful resources from a Christian perspective on this, and I assembled some of those in the handout that I referred to earlier you can take in the back. But today we want to focus on the particular element that's listed here in this passage. Anxiety. Depression is a result, or very often is a result, of anxiety and worry, doubts and frustrations. You know, the source of depression, we're not always very clear about this, the source of depression may, in some people, on some occasions, be physical, some sort of physical imbalance or reaction, some trauma of something in the past. Sometimes that is the case, and so there's a legitimate need for seeking medical attention and assistance, and there's nothing shameful about that. That's fine. But in all cases, depression always is a spiritual aspect to it. Sometimes there's a physical aspect to it, but there's always a spiritual aspect to it. And that's true for anything. Even if we break our leg, we might need to go get a cast, but there's still a spiritual aspect to our response, to our reality that now I can't go to work for a couple months. How are you going to deal with that spiritually? Depression is nearly always a sinful response. Nearly always a sinful response when we have this anxiety that burrows deep down into our heart. That's what the scripture tells us today. When anxiety about God and what He's doing in His providence, and we are anxious about it. In light of the fact that our world has so little trust for the Bible, especially when it comes to matters of counseling and psychology. Psychology, the word, if you look it up in a dictionary, is the study of the psyche, which is the soul. God knows the soul better than anyone. Many of the great heroes of the faith went through seasons of depression. That's on the handout that I gave. Abraham, Job, Jonah, Elijah, Jeremiah, King David, to name a few great Christians who struggled more than once with depression. By one person's counting up, 47 of the Psalms that David wrote, David didn't write all 150, but he wrote many of them, and 47 of the ones he wrote speak about depression. Psalm 38, verse 6 is an example. David says, I am troubled, I am bowed down greatly, I go mourning all day long. One of the key descriptions of a person who's depressed is that they're sad. No matter what they do, what other people try to do, they just can't feel it's all day long. David said he is going mourning all day long. In another psalm, the psalm that we read, Psalm 42, we read that the cause for being depressed there was his anxiety over the oppression of his enemies and the ridicule and shame when they're saying, where is your God? And God's not coming to help. Nobody agrees with the Christian. He feels alone. His worries got so bad, he said, I can't even go to church anymore. And he stops going to church. That's not the only reason. Doesn't mean everybody who doesn't go to church is depressed, but it can be. It can be. Anxiety here that's described as what can cause depression is described in the Bible as a sort of fear. A fear. A fear that overwhelms you. A fear like a troubled sea that won't be quiet, like all the waves crashing against the shore. Anxiety. In Jeremiah chapter 49, verse 23, it's described that way. But interestingly, in another place in Jeremiah, it uses this same word, anxiety, and it says that for the Christian, he doesn't have anxiety even when the army is marching through and invading your land. Jeremiah says, I'm without anxiety when they're marching through. You would expect maybe he could. Plenty of reasons to be very afraid, but he wasn't, because he was taking nourishment and strength from the resources that God gave to his heart. This word anxiety is so closely connected to fear. So I ask you, what sort of fears can lead you or people that you know to depression? So that we can best apply this to ourselves. Sometimes there are fears of making a wrong decision. The people are so afraid to make a wrong decision that they end up not making any decision. Or they make a decision and then after a while, and they change their mind about this and about that, and they're never satisfied. Fear can often drive that. They're afraid to fail. There's another fear. Afraid to be exposed. Some people are afraid to lose a loved one. And that fear can doesn't always, but it can lead to a depression. Some people are afraid of being abandoned. So they'll latch on and be maybe clingy to another person because they're so afraid. Maybe because of something in the past that was outside of their control. They were oppressed in some way, mistreated. Now they're afraid and they've gotten so wound up they're depressed. Some people are afraid to die. Some people are afraid to have a disabling disease. So they get depressed or go into denial, even though they've heard what the doctor said about the reality of their health. Some people are afraid of everything. And that's very difficult. Some people are afraid of not being forgiven. They don't really know if God could forgive them or has forgiven them. But what does the scripture say here about fear? When is it that we really have to watch out for it? It says we have to watch out when that anxiety is in the heart. When the anxiety has moved into our heart. Anxiety is not a depressant until it's in your heart. Situations that bring anxiety happen to all of us. And sometimes the same situation happens to two people, and one person gets really anxious and nervous and goes into depression, the person right next to them doesn't. It doesn't automatically mean one person's better than another. But the Bible does call us and show us the way out of such a difficulty. When we choose to respond to a situation, to that fear, to that anxiety and worry, and let that continue to fester, well then what anxiety does is it unpacks its suitcase and moves in to our heart. And then you have depression. But you don't have to let the house guest stay. That's the good news of the gospel for us today. But it does weigh us down. That anxiety oppresses hard upon us. It says it in the heart, right? We know that the heart is what we're supposed to watch for, especially as Christians. That all the issues of life spring from the heart, Proverbs 4, verse 23 says. Our heart so often can lead us. We're often told, follow your heart. That's the gospel news of the world. Follow your heart. The Bible says our heart's supposed to follow God's heart. Proverbs 15, verse 13 says, a merry heart will make a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of heart, the spirit is broken. A merry heart does good like medicine, Proverbs 17, verse 22 says, but a broken spirit dries the bones. So when anxiety rests deep down in our heart and breaks our spirit, we've got dry bones. No nourishment, no growth. We feel dead inside, empty, emotionless. But God knows about emotions. He created them. And the emotion mentioned in our passage, anxiety and the fears that get all wrapped up inside of them. Our worries about something, our heart fails, we lose courage, we tremble in fear. These are the sorts of things, ways the Bible speaks about this anxiety that can lead to depression and causes it. You know, Jesus knew about situations that could bring anxiety that unpacks its suitcase and moves in. Jesus knew the depths of sorrow, and yet he didn't respond in a sinful way. But he wasn't emotionless either. We read that he took the disciples to pray in the Garden of Gethsemane. And we read in Mark 14 that he said to them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me. He goes and he prays. He knows the depths of sorrow. He knows the depths of being betrayed, of truly being alone. He is our high priest who can sympathize with us in our weaknesses. And even better yet is to realize how he sympathized with us. in our anxieties. Jesus is with us in every trial. He's sufficient for us in whatever it is. In the midst of afflictions, we hear something. We can either hear the fears, the lies of the world, the lies that we've been allowing ourselves to believe, that we can't get out of this, that this is terrible, or that it's okay for me to wallow in self-pity, or whatever the situation might be. Or we can hear the sound of the footsteps of Jesus coming to us. Our high priest, who can sympathize with us in this very situation. He himself has passed through these flames. He's braved these floods and these anxieties and these opportunities for panic and frustration and doubt. He came to his disciples in the midst of the sea, you remember, standing, going through the storm, and he calls out and says, "Fear not, it is me. Do not be afraid." That's the word of our Lord, of your Lord and mine, when he comes to us in our anxiety. Is there hope for the anxieties that can take up residence in our heart and cause depression? Absolutely. We do not have to learn to live with it, if by saying that we mean it's just an illness, it's just a sickness, and there's nothing you can do about it. Except maybe go to the doctor and get this or that thing. Some of us have certain situations, certain challenges in our life that we struggle with more than others. But the way to live with whatever that challenge is to turn to God's answer to that. And he says, you do not have to live in a constant state all your life long of depression. There is hope. The solution is provided for us. It might take some time to get out of it. You might slide back into it. Yes, that is true. But it is not hopeless. The Bible tells us the solution here. Look at the second part then of verse 25. Anxiety in the heart of man causes depression, but a good word makes it glad. Fill your heart with good words. What makes it glad? What makes your heart glad? The good word. The phrase good word is a term that the Bible uses to speak about God's promises, about prophecies that fit the situation, fit what we need. It's something that we as Christians agree with or should agree with because it's a good word that's God's wisdom to us. For example, Proverbs 16, verse 24 says, pleasant words, or could be translated good words, are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the bones. They're sweet. Proverbs 15, verse 30 says, the light of the eyes rejoices the heart, and a good report makes the bones healthy. Good words will relieve the anxiety and the stress and the way our physical body gets worn down because of this spiritual, emotional, mental frustration and struggles that we have. When we deal with those things spiritually, the body starts to be able to respond better as well. Psalm 45 begins by saying, my heart is overflowing with a good word. A good word. Where do these good words come from? Where's the location? Unlike the first part of the verse where it says anxiety is in the heart of man, here we learn that these good words don't come from us. They don't come from our heart. When we're depressed, that's good news. Because anybody who's ever struggled with depression or knows someone who has been depressed, the least effective way is to go up and say, just come on, snap out of it. You know better. They're in that condition. They've tried, probably, whatever they could. They're at the end of their rope. There's nothing they can do to make themselves feel better. And so if the gospel message, it wouldn't be the gospel message, is do this and you'll make yourself better, well, then that's just another law you have to try to follow and you're going to fail. And you will stay depressed. But that's not what the Bible says here. What you need is a good word. And it's not a good word that's going to come from you. It's not self-help telling yourself positive things that you think of. But the word, the term good word, is used in the Bible to describe God's word, God's promises, things about God, things about what He's done for you, what He promises to you. Those are the things we need to dwell upon and reflect on. This is what we recall when we're in the pit of despair. You see, the way out is the way up, looking to God. Who is He? What kind of a God do I have? What does He do for His people? Am I one of His chosen ones? How do I know? If I'm saved, then it's not based upon my own actions, but only His grace. Well, then I know for sure I'm saved. That's good news. That's comfort. That's a good word. God never fails. When Jesus died for me, He said, "It is finished," and He finished the job. That's a good word. And so we praise God that we don't need to be anxious and fall into despair. I know that we do. But this proverb shows us how to handle that situation. God knows what's going on in our lives. He sent it in the first place. Remember that. God sent these things in the first place. And so you can go to Him. We simply must believe that He will keep His good word and meditate upon that good word. There's two main ways I want us to explore. How do I apply these good words into my life going forward? How do I apply this proverb? One way is to think of how do I apply this proverb in my love for God? And then another way is how do I apply this in my love for my neighbor? This proverb calls me to love God. Psalm 42, we see that happening. The psalmist says, "Why are you cast down, O my soul?" You almost might think this guy really does have some mental something or other because he's talking out loud to himself in the psalm. But praise God he is, because then we have it in the Bible. We know how to deal with this situation. "Why are you cast down, O my soul?" I said to myself, "Self, why are you disquieted and troubled?" And then he tells himself, "Hope in God. I will praise Him. I can go back to church. It doesn't matter. Everybody knows I haven't been there for so long and they're going to look at me." No, my hope isn't in them. My hope is in God. I can go back to church. God's my help. Psalm 122, verse 1 says, "I was glad when they said to me, 'Let's go into the house of the Lord.'" I want to love God. That's a good word that gets us out of our bubble and focused on the King. We've got to have faith in God for who God really is. What the Bible says about God's true. It's true whether or not anybody believes it. Whether or not you and I enjoy the truth and the blessings of God, or suffer in misery and doubt and frustration, God's still who He is. And what does the Bible say about who He is? Well, one of many very important, helpful truths about who God is for someone struggling with depression or anxiety is in 2 Corinthians 1, verse 3. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation." He's the God of comfort, who comforts us in our tribulation, including whatever things that are overwhelming us that have gotten us to the point of being depressed. You see, we've got to base our life on the facts, not on our feelings. We base our life on the facts, on what's true, not on how we have interpreted what's true. Our facts come first. Feelings will follow in time. Scripture commands us all over the place to be joyful, but it doesn't say, make sure you feel it first. It says, come to worship every week, period. Doesn't matter what happened. You come to worship every week. We read in Philippians 4, verse 4, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice." That's a very famous command for us to be joyful. We've probably memorized that before. And you know, in the verses right after, it tells us something very similar to the proverb in front of us. It says to fill your heart with good words. If you don't know what to do with yourself, if you've tried to control your thoughts and you haven't been able to, here's what you do. Open the Bible to Philippians 4. You see there I'm supposed to be joyful. You say, I don't feel joyful at all. But God says to be joyful. Okay, Lord, I want to obey you. How do I be joyful? You keep reading. In Philippians 4, verse 8, you come across this. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever is of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Those are the facts. Those are the truths. Find those and think about those things. And the things, it goes on to say, the things that you've learned and received and heard and saw in me, the Apostle Paul, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. Christians have applied that scripture in particular very successfully in seasons of depression and anxiety. Here is what some of these Christians have said in their explanation of how God used this scripture and others to lighten their load with depression. One Christian said, I began to talk to myself rather than listen to myself. I began to talk to myself rather than listen to myself. I began to speak various scripture verses to myself rather than listen to my own voices of hopelessness. Another Christian wrote, I stopped saying, it doesn't work. I was always looking for the quick fix, the magic bullet. I would pray, but I was really trying to make deals with God. I would look at my own heart for a minute or two. I would briefly try some spiritual activity, and when it didn't work fast enough, I would quit. However, now I believe it does work. There's contentment and joy in long-term, small steps of faith and obedience. Another Christian said, I saw that I was doing things rather than just having things done to me. See, I wasn't merely a victim of everybody else, and so that's why I have all this stuff that I'm, all my depression and so on. I was doing anger. I was doing complaining and grumbling. In my heart, I was doing what I wanted. And the breakthrough came when I realized that. Anxiety and fears in my heart. I was doing depression. I didn't have to do that in response to those anxieties and fear. I needed the good words of God. And so they turned to that. The Psalms are full of these good words. The Bible itself is this good word. Psalm 19, verse 8 says, the statutes of the Lord are right and they rejoice the heart. All the Bible is God's good word for our souls. Psalm 16, verse 9 and 10 tell us this good word. The greatest good word we should think of, I suppose, is eternal life. It's described as a good word to us. In Psalm 16, verse 9, it says, therefore, my heart's glad, and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will rest in hope, because you're not going to leave my soul in Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. But I suppose somebody might ask, well, I know I'm going to heaven, but I'm still depressed. That future fact is great, but it doesn't help me now. If that's where you are, or if that's where somebody you know is, that's exactly the kind of thought that the proverb is talking about that leads to depression. It's the kind of thought that shows a weakness in understanding true biblical doctrine. And a soul that needs the comfort of Christ's good words. If God is strong enough to defeat your death, but But he's not strong enough to defeat your depression? That's what you're saying. Sometimes God allows us to go through seasons of depression, but he's always there in the darkness. There are valleys in the shadow of death, but the psalmist says, I can go through that and fear no evil. I can, by God's grace and mercy. So it calls me to love God, but then it also calls us, doesn't it, to love our neighbor. To tell our neighbor who's in those valleys how to have comfort. Sometimes people ask, especially here, young girls or women in particular, sometimes even men ask, what's the role of women in the kingdom of God and in the church? Well, there's lots of ways to answer that, but here is a great example. Men can and should be encouragers, but let's be honest, women are usually much better at it. And here is a great example of the way women can come alongside other people that you know and encourage, give good words to those who are all overwhelmed by whatever anxiety and frustration and sadness they're in. To love our neighbor. It's so much more easy to voice our own complaints and troubles, and then our neighbor never gets to tell us about their anxieties that needs our good word to help them out of their situation. But God tells us that the way you and I can get out of our own depression is to get not only loving for God, but love our neighbor enough to talk to them and find out what's going on there and to show love for them. That's how we show love. Somebody has said, a friend a day keeps depression away. A friend a day keeps depression away. So be a friend. But realize as well that for some people, the people who you would expect to be their friend in their life, somebody in their family, in a close relationship with them, might be the very thing that is especially causing the anxiety or the depression. And that makes it even harder because they don't have a friend or the kind of people that should be friends. So we need to come alongside and look out for those whom we can show love and kindness towards. And no matter what the situation is, maybe you're the person who feels like you have no friends at all in this world, and that may be true, as long as you also remember that you do have a friend in Jesus, and that you do have a friend in other believers. If you just ask, we will help and show love. Loving our neighbor means being on the lookout for ways we can help one another. And so if you struggle with depression, whether or not you've ever been to a doctor for it, that's not the point. If you struggle with anxieties that overwhelm and fears that paralyze or lead you to not know what to do or to do wrong things, do not think you're less of a Christian or less of a human than other people. The downcast heart is common. But there's an answer to that reality. Jesus says to those who are downcast in Matthew 11, verse 28, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, and I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy, and my burden is light. The proverb of our text presents us with that choice today. Are you going to make the right choice? Are you going to let anxiety unpack its bags and live in your life and in your heart? Or are you going to kick it out by using the good words of God, fleeing from everything that has led you to this point, running to Jesus and to his good words of comfort and peace? Listen to his words. They will make you glad. Amen. Let's stand and pray. Well, Father, we thank and praise you for your kindness, your goodness, your grace, for your words, which are so comforting, which speak to us on very real life situations that we face. Oh, Father, I pray for those who especially come today, perhaps are under a thick cloud of darkness. For those who are not here because the thick cloud of darkness, they have responded to it thinking that you wouldn't want them to come into your house to worship, or they've not come for some other reason. Oh Lord, I pray that you would break through that with the light of your gospel of these good words. Give us hearts of tenderness and compassion towards ourselves and towards others in this area. We pray as Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Please be seated.